for all your hard work in Vacation Bible School. I don't know how you people even think about all of the details of that, but Lyle obviously has done real well, but as we gather together for meetings, we can help him with some of that planning. Perhaps you or one of us would have something to reflect upon that maybe Lyle hasn't even thought of. So, yeah, working together towards the goals. We were back to Iowa this week. One of our friends, Denise Tony, has a very aggressive cancer, and she's just entering into that place right now where she needs more treatment, but her white blood cells are not monitoring right, so it's a very serious time for her. And yesterday they had 5K and a half marathon in prayer time, a great release of pink balloons, and friends gathering around in support of Denise and her family. Our girls and our adopted niece, Mandy Vischer, for the first time ever ran their first half marathon. And they're very sore today, especially where it tears the skin off your toes and things like that to make these kind of races. But there's a lot of needs out there. And you folks, too, have had a week of great needs, and we've needs ahead of us, so we need to hold each other up in prayer. And especially foremost on our thinking this week is Charlie on Tuesday, and it's not simply for Charlie, but also for Rick and Cheryl and loved ones. It's a great concern when you send a loved one off to surgery. So whatever we can do, Rick and Cheryl, we sure want to, you just ask us, we want to be there for you. So many people, many needs, and let's just keep each other before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time when we can look to you and look to your word and learn from you, learn more about life, Lord, as you reveal it from Scripture, not only the great truths there, but also, Lord, right from the lips of the Savior and from the examples of people. And, Lord, how we need to hear from heaven today. The first century was a time of great trauma and living under foreign rule and a lot of inequities. Today, Lord, we feel, too, there's a lot of concerns. And we need you, Lord, like they needed you then. So guide us, Father, and meet the needs. We pray, Lord, for Denise, that you will help her, Lord. It's kind of a fearful thing to know that her white blood count is not right, and yet she needs a treatment tomorrow that's very serious for her health. So we pray, Lord, you'll comfort her heart. Thank you, Lord, for the things that she shares about her trials, but always, Lord, to conclude with great scripture, great faith and trust and confidence in the promises of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in her heart. And Lord, we thank you for the winds and their faith in you. And Lord, they're looking to you. They've looked to you in the past and found you faithful. And we pray, Lord, for Charlie, that this surgery be very, very good. Lord, very successful. And so we ask, Lord, for wisdom for the doctors. And Lord, we pray that the healing process be very effective, even very fast, speeding him on, Lord, to greater health. We thank you, Lord, for not only this operation for Charlie, but what you've done in his heart. Lord, what you do in people's hearts with the great operation of salvation, turning us, Lord, from sin, and how we need you, Lord, to be our Savior. Thank you for doing that for Charlie, and then for giving him happiness in his heart, faith in you. And Lord, to be an overcomer, even through the very difficult times. We pray, Lord, for Linnea and the baby, and we thank you, Lord, for a new little boy to come into their home. We ask you, Lord, for their health and safety and healing. And we just entrust you, Lord, to their care. Lord, even for myself, I just thank you, Lord, for VA benefits and good hospitals and medical help and people here who care about us and look after us. And we just praise you, Lord, for all of this. Thank you, Lord, that Ron and Steve could have a great time up there in Canada fishing. What an opportunity. So, Lord, you're good to us. You're good to us. And we love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I asked Steve if maybe he would share a testimony tonight. Hadn't said yes or no for sure, but maybe tonight you can hear a testimony from Steve about some of the things happening. What's up? He says, all right. Good. Tonight we'll hear a testimony. Don't shake his hand too hard. I'm sure it's sore from all of that, you know, holding the rod and the reel. So be gentle with Steve. Hey, tonight'll be great. That'll be fun. That'll add something to our service, and we love to hear from our people. It's more like for you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. I'm going to start a short series, two Sundays, on the seven I wills of Christ. I was downtown one evening, and I met a homeless man who was sitting on a bench. And he was a black man, and he's about 10 years younger than me. And we struck up an instant friendship. And so I was telling him about the Lord. And Larry believed at that point that he wanted to trust in the Lord. But he did not want to sit on the bench. He wanted to stand in honor to the Lord. And there was a great concrete plaza in front of us with a great circle marked into the concrete. And he said, I want us to stand on that line. And so we stood there, and he was standing at attention as he was giving the Lord his full attention that evening. Well, then there's also other people, and they're walking up the street. I don't think I've ever seen anybody so angry in a very long time. But it's just the way the devil plans things. As they're yelling to people up the road, and they're yelling obscenities and at the top of their lungs and challenging others. And I thought, my, what's going on? And so as I'm standing there beside Larry took my hand, and he closed his eyes, and he said, what shall I pray? What shall I say? I said, well, the Lord is your audience, and he knows exactly what you're saying. You just pray from your heart. You just tell the Lord exactly what you want. I explained to him about the way of salvation. And so Larry began to talk. We're trying to gain our thoughts, trying to pray. And then the people that were yelling out on the street came our way, and they walked right in front of us, and we felt the menacing presence. We didn't know if at any moment they might turn upon us. And here's Larry at that moment trying to pray. And so then he did. And those people gathered more people around them, and then they went up the street. We're happy about that. And Larry expressed that he's trusting solely in the Lord for salvation. And like you and me, he expressed the fact that he's a sinner. Sinners need a Savior. And as he's trusting the Lord, and he says, I want to go to heaven. And then he paused and corrected himself, and he said, I will go to heaven. And then, as if to say, God, I'm going to put my whole heart into this. I want my life to change. I want to be the best possible Christian I can be, even a good citizen. And Larry began to pray, and God bless America. And Larry said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Well, praise the Lord. He wants to be a good citizen, too. And then he asked me to wander around on the streets with him that night, like homeless people do. I said, oh, no thanks to that, but I'd be glad to pick you up any Sunday you call me. I'll bring you to church. We can wander the halls of Fairhaven here together, or I'll be happy one day to wander around the street of glory with him. One thing Larry's saying here about his I will, he's saying, Lord, as your child, I will be a good citizen. I will change. Well, you know, when you and I say I will, and maybe we won't. Because that's who we are as people. But when our Lord Jesus Christ makes a promise, he says, I will, and it will be done. Well, the first I will we want to examine is the I will of salvation. John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Have you ever gone up to a home and you see a welcome mat that says, they put it right in front of their door. Oh no, not you again. We will not put that on the parsonage step. But how does that relate to God? How will God welcome us? Will God tell us that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or will it be like, oh no, not you, not you? Well, friend, we don't have to guess about that. I mean, we think about the things that we've done, and you and I can think about the great dark secrets of our hearts, things we don't enjoy telling other people, maybe things only God himself knows about. What will God say? Well, we don't have to guess. Him that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Jesus. We don't have to guess. In original language, it's as if to say, I will never, never, under any circumstance, drive you away. Once you're a child of God, just like our children may disappoint us, we as God's children disappoint the Father. But once you're in the family, you're still family. He'll never drive you away. We think of the prodigal son, and he comes to his senses. He decides to risk all, go back to his father. He discovers this is not Holiday Inn. The devil has disguised Pig Pen Hotel, and I need to get out of here. And so in his wasted condition, he expects anything but a welcome. Well, the question isn't whether Jesus will welcome you if you come. It's whether you will welcome him when he comes to you, like Larry did. All that the Father giveth to me. All that the Father giveth to me. That includes you and that includes me. Praise the Lord. And we find this urgency here. As with the prodigal son, as he's going back to the Father, we also find the urgency of the Father as he goes out there on the road and he sees his son like coming up over that last hill. He sees the shadow of a person, and he recognizes the walk. And he says, that's my son. And you never see this with a Jewish father, except in the story of the prodigal son, as he breaks away from the gate of his home, and he goes running down the road to meet his son, and he embraces that son who's got the stinking, reeking smell of the unkosher hog all over him. Holds him to his breast. Oh, my son, all that the Father hath given to me will come to me. The urgency of the Father. After all, Jesus has given his life for you. The Father wants to embrace you. Jesus left heaven to seek and to save sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to condemn the world, but that the world, through him, might be saved. Oh, if we could just convince the world about that today. John Bunyan couldn't get into the great castle of his day. But there came a day when the great lords and dukes and great men of the land unveiled a monument to John Bunyan. Well, on this world, on this earth, he was not allowed inside the castle walls. But as the writer of Pilgrim Progress, as a man, God chose a very poor man to write the great truths of Scripture about Scripture, and not about a tramp in a way, but John Bunyan has touched hundreds of thousands of lives. George Whitefield is in a tabernacle in London. He's preaching to a great multitude. And what a great voice, John Whitefield, as he could preach out in the open field, and there could be like 5,000 people, a few horses stamping around as well. But his voice would carry, and the people could hear him. He's preaching in this tabernacle, and he cries out, "The Lord Jesus will save the devil's castaways." There were two abandoned poor women standing outside in the street. They heard the voice of John Bunyan. They looked into each other's faces and they said, one said to the other, "That must mean you and me." And they rejoiced, and they came and they looked inside the door. And they saw John Bunyan up there, George Whitefield up there preaching with tears streaming down his face. One of them sent a note to John Bunyan, or to George Whitefield. Later, Mr. Whitefield was with Lady Herring Huntington, and she said, "Don't you think you went a little too far today to say the Lord will save the devil's castaways?" He took the note from his pocket and gave it to Lady Huntington. He said, "Would you read this aloud? Mr. Whitefield, two poor lost women stood outside your tabernacle today and heard you say that the Lord would save the devil's castaways. We seized upon that as our last hope. Now we write to tell you that we rejoice now in believing in him. And from this good hour, we shall endeavor to serve him who has done so much for us." I will, Jesus says. I will. Just come to Jesus, no matter who you are. The I will of salvation. And the I will of cleansing from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Here we read of a leper who came to Christ and he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The Lord touched him and said, "I will. Be thou clean." Immediately the leprosy left him. And so anyone who's full of sin goes to Jesus, speaks to Jesus, as this poor leper did. He heard Jesus say, "I will. Be thou clean." Immediately the leprosy left him. Anyone full of sin goes to Jesus, tells him, Jesus says, "I will, be thou clean." The Lord alone can forgive sins. So if you go to Jesus and you say, "Lord, I'm full of sin. I'm sick of myself. I'm full of my own failures. I'm so ashamed. I'm humiliated by the life that I've lived. Can you make me clean?" Or someone would say, "Lord, I've just got such a rotten temper. God, can you help me? Can you make me clean?" Or, "Lord, I have deceived. I have a deceitful heart. Cleanse me, Lord. Give me a new heart to overcome the power of the flesh." Or to say, "Lord, I've read your word. I know your truth. I'm a man of unclean habits. Can you make me clean?" And then to hear the words, "I will. Be thou clean." God miraculously heals bodies. He could have done that for Denise Tony, and he may still. You may say, "I'll take away your leprosy. I'll take away your cancer. I'll perform this. I'll give you health over this terrible disease." ruining your body. I'll cleanse your soul. Come to him with our sin. I'll cleanse your soul. I'll give you the garments of cleansing. Well, how wonderful it is. Jesus means what he says. He says, I will. See, I will of salvation. How marvelous. What a great truth. The I will of cleansing. Then in Mark chapter 10, verse 32, we find here the I will of confession. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. In the court of law, one of the most damaging evidences is a person's personal testimony. We have one giving testimony about us, about you and me, as the devil comes. And he uses his words and he uses our words as evidence against us. So, we're in trouble. If you're in legal trouble, you need the best attorney. So Satan is constantly accusing you and me before God. He's the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12:10. Someday we will stand before God and you and I will face our past. Can you imagine how many sins you've committed? How many offenses have been recorded in your name? And Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. He will confess us in heaven, Matthew 10:32. And our Lord Jesus have never lost a case. Praise God. You know, under the law in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Every man shall pay for his own sin, every woman for their own sin. But Jesus died for you and to me, to present himself as exhibit A, hallelujah. And he says, Father, I died for this person. I've given my life as the perfect substitute, my life for theirs, my purity to pay for their sin. And God grants a full and complete pardon. Praise God today. Praise God for this pardon. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have an attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, 1 John 2:1. And so your heavenly attorney is Jesus. Jesus Christ has never lost a case. Confess him as Lord. Hallelujah. As soon as someone has received Christ, they're encouraged to tell, according to the Bible, you receive Jesus, you know Jesus, you're encouraged by God to tell other people. Nothing starts revival fires quicker than someone is just, you know, trusting the Lord, and they go tell someone else, this is what God has done in my heart. I have committed my sins, but God has forgiven me. Hallelujah, now I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Think of a great, powerful voice from the past. Bill Bright talked about Dr. Charles Malk. He was the ambassador to the United Nations from Lebanon. And the president of the United Nations General Assembly in 1959. And they were friends for about 25 years. Charles Malk was a graduate of Harvard. And he had over 50 honorary doctorate degrees from the most prestigious universities from all over the world. He was a great intellectual, a spiritual giant. Bill Bright said, it was my privilege to hear him speak to a group of world leaders in Washington, D.C. I was deeply touched by his strong witness for the Lord Jesus when he said, the deeper need of the world belongs to the sphere of the mind, heart and spirit, a spirit to be penetrated with the light and grace of Jesus Christ. He went on to say, I really do not know what will remain of civilization and history if the accumulated influence of Jesus Christ, both direct and indirect, is eradicated from literature, art, practical dealings, moral standards, and creativeness, and the different activities of mind and spirit. Then he concluded with this profound statement: the heart of the whole matter is faith in Jesus Christ. Following his address, I approached him to say, many political leaders speak of God, the Bible, prayer in a general way. Well, I've never heard one in your position, a worldwide leadership, who has spoken so powerfully and so convincingly of your faith and your love for Jesus Christ. His response moved me deeply. I am sobered by the words of our Lord, he said. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. For whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. You know, America needs great people today who are not afraid to speak. They don't have to be in great leadership. They just need to be here in Kansas City. People who speak for the Lord unashamedly to represent Christ. When we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, God urges us to speak for him. Confess his name without shame. In China, one of the greatest ambitions of many soldiers is to have their name written in the palace or in the temple of Confucius. Well, friend, just think. To have your name spoken in heaven by the Prince of Glory because you've confessed him on earth. Confess him here. God says, I will confess you there. The I wills of Jesus, the I will of salvation, the I will of cleansing, the I will of confession. And fourthly, the I will of service. Christ says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we as Christians were known by the Bible. We believe the Bible. We're known by the cross. Whether we have it on our earrings or around our neck or on a car, we're known by the fish, known by modesty, known by practicing clean habits. But Jesus also says, this is it. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. John 13:35. Just to love people. As people look at us, they look at the world, they look at the churches, and they see any preferences, they see any prejudice, and they spot any pride. But Jesus said, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God, we have so many people troubled with so many problems, insurmountable problems, huge, threatening lives and threatening our way of life. We can take these to Jesus and find the strength to face the next day. What sets the church apart from everything else in the world is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel to change lives. And so in Mark, here we find Christ meeting Simon and Andrew, and they're casting their nets into the sea, and he challenges them to follow me. Follow me. Well, do they spend a couple weeks like thinking it over, making all these decisions? Shall I follow Jesus? Shall I be faithful to Jesus? You know, immediately they left their nets and they followed Jesus Christ. They knew the authority of Jesus Christ over their lives and followed him. Not all who see Jesus continue following him. We find that in John chapter 6. Difficult, challenging statements here. Many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore, verse 66. Man, we find that on this hill. People used to walk with God. They think they're so impressive about what they used to do for God. They don't walk with God anymore. You don't see them in church anymore. You don't see them faithful anymore. And Jesus said to the remaining 12, do you not want to go away also? Do you? You want to go away? You want to join them? Join the losers? Well, Peter makes this profound statement here. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life in verse 68. So he had come to the conclusion that, you know what? There's no one else to follow. There's nothing else out there that supersedes God in my life. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And none of us would want to argue that, you know, there are not enough fishers of men. We need more workers in the harvest. We can speculate why that is. Why aren't there more faithful people? Why aren't there more workers in the harvest? Sure, there's a lot of Christians out there. Why isn't there more help? Well, maybe the greatest explanation's right here. They're missing the follow me. Just don't follow. God's not important. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, he's committed us to the message of reconciliation. And that we're Christ's ambassadors. What an honor. In other words, God is counting on you and me to let other people know that they can have peace in their hearts through meeting Jesus Christ. So that's our mission, bringing the lost to the Savior. And it's not cleaning them up, every fisherman. Ron and Steve will tell you. Fishers of men, you got to catch them before you clean them. People need the Savior before they reform. It's a relationship before a reformation. Irene's brother Daniel bought her a lighthouse. It's really neat. And it turns when you plug it in and a light goes around. It's really fun at night. And it was safe in the box. But we could have left it in the box, but you know what? Then it wouldn't be of service to us in the box. Have to get it out of the box. A lot of Christians, you got to get them out of the box. They're not in service if they're just sitting in a box. Here's Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth, and Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. Got out of the box. He's ready to serve. Before Sir Ernest Shackleton sailed for Antarctica in 1914, he put a small advertisement in the London paper that said this: wanted men to go on an Antarctica expedition. Small wages, bitter cold, safe return doubtful. And what happened was more than 5,000 people responded that they wanted to go with him and are willing to lay their lives on the line. So they got out there in that little ship, the people that he took, on a fated journey, and they call it the Endurance. The Endurance, because Shackleton's family motto was, by endurance we conquer. By endurance we conquer. By not giving up, we win. And so on that journey, they got crushed. The ship got crushed in the ice. And then they had a long journey across a frozen wasteland. Finally, at Elephant Island, and they trekked across mountains never before crossed in this great adventure. Ponder the words: wanted men to go on an Antarctica expedition, small wages, bitter cold, safe return doubtful. It's kind of like what Ezekiel is seeking in chapter 22, verse 30. Here's the plea from the Lord. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Here in America today, we find fewer faithful. So in the recruitment of the disciples, Jesus said, follow me. And this can be added. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. It's a call to service. You know, Bill Bright took up the challenge to follow the Lord. He was at UCLA in the 50s, and he was challenged by one Henrietta Mears to give his life completely and totally to Jesus Christ. So he said, here's what I did. I made a contract with God. I literally wrote it out and signed my name at the bottom. It said, from this day forward, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying here is, there's no turning back. I've desired to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God led him to start Campus Crusade for Christ, in which they estimate that over 4 billion people have been in contact with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through Campus Crusade. Over 150 million have registered decisions trusting Jesus Christ. A contract with God. Well, William Shackleton, he looked for men. He found tough, committed men who believed in his ability to bring them back safely. And you know what? He did. After all of that, he had the integrity, the skill, the leadership to bring them back. Not a single life was lost. But we have one greater than Shackleton. He says, follow me. Follow me. Who's willing to do that? I will. Thy will of salvation, thy will of cleansing, thy will of confession, thy will of service, I will make you fishers of men. I was just reflecting this week again on the fact that a mother was swimming and her little girl was standing on the shore. And the current caught this lady and she was being swept away. And it was a strong current as she's fighting to get back to land. And she's calling for help, and the little girl says, Mommy, Mommy, I'll help you. And she starts going for the water. And this lady out in the current cries back, No! Go back! And the little girl says, But Mommy! And the lady, in desperation, crying to save her little girl's life, cried out, No! Go back! Go back! A couple days later, young father was holding a little girl, going by the casket of her mother. And she looked into the still face and she said, Mama, I wanted to save you, but you wouldn't let me. And how isn't that just so much like what we face today? We open up Fairhaven's doors every Sunday morning. We want to help people. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's like we're on the shore and we say we have the answer. Just come, just turn. Trust Jesus Christ. Everlasting life. That's our calling. The I will of service to be used of the Lord. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for the opportunity we do have to serve you. The opportunity we do have, Lord, to worship. It may be, Lord, and the way that this country is turning from God, even legislatively, that one day during perhaps from not hiring the right kind of people, according to politically correct, they'll close the doors of our churches. Give us such heavy fines we could not possibly pay them. It's very conceivable we might be meeting in houses of a dozen to 20 people someday to come. Very possible. Pastors like myself will be behind the bars. Because society doesn't like the way we are. Well, Lord, we're not called to be politically correct. We're called to be biblical. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us, not only as a composite group of believers, but also, Lord, as individual testimonies for Christ, God, that we will each one be biblical, to respond to the I wills of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open your hymnals to 372.